Last Lord's Day, we finished the book of Ephesians. I hope you got at least some fraction of the blessings that I got from spending that time in that precious portion of God's Word. And it is now it's actually kind of late in the summer, and we typically do a few weeks of what I call provoke the pastor, where I ask your questions. But as I said earlier in the service, we're going to start with provoke by the pastor, something that I want to deal with, just looking at the life of Heritage Bible Church and wanting to minister to all of our families. When we studied Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 on Spirit-led parenting, if you have a great memory that goes back, I think, 4 weeks, I concluded that sermon by asking you to ponder this statement. You have no choice about homeschooling. Well, I want that to be my theme statement for today, and I think you'll understand what I mean when we finish. For a long time, I've been asked if I was going to update our position paper on that. We have had a position paper for 15 years, cleverly titled Educational Alternatives. And I originally wrote that as an article to send to people who listen to our radio program about 30 years ago. And then eventually that turned into a position paper that has been adopted by several churches and passed along. So it's kind of been around for most of a spiritual generation. I have learned, and by the way, I did update that paper this week, or that position paper this week, minor changes, but there are things that weren't even around 15 years ago that do affect people's choices about educating their children. So I have learned over the years that this subject evokes very powerful reactions from some people. For all the things that I teach, all the things that I'm known for, the countless hours on the radio, all the sermons on the internet, I don't think I have ever been attacked any more than I have for our position on educational alternatives. And some of the attacks have come from people who aren't even remotely spiritual about the response. I mean, flagrant carnality. Now, somebody that wasn't part of Heritage, they emailed us a few weeks ago and said, we're new to the area. We're looking for a church. We've been searching things on the internet. We really liked what we saw with Heritage. We're thinking about visiting. And then we read your position on educational alternatives. How dare you? Well, they didn't yell because it was an email, but they just said a bunch of absolutely rude sub-Christian attacks on this position. So here's your chance. We may not need to ever expand our building if I say this in the wrong way, but I'll do my best. Over the years, I've received several very thoughtful comments and statements and questions about this, and they contrast with the scathing ones. But I thought, let's begin. I'll just share with you a couple of questions that I got. These are not fresh. These are not people in the room, so nobody needs to be scared. Somebody's bowing their head, it's not because they're being embarrassed. Okay, but here's some of the legitimate things to consider. When is it okay to send Christian children to schools of other religions for the purpose of educating them? If a school does not allow Christianity to be preached, isn't it anti-Christian, and should Christians attend? Now, I think the specific behind that, and I've helped a few families deal with this, is they were pondering sending a child to a Catholic school because of the high standards of academics and relatively higher standards of behavior than public schools. And then there's a secondary application of that. What about a college sponsored by a different religious organization? And my personal recommendation is that for elementary, junior high, high school, I would far rather have kids in a government school where we know that the school is committed to an openly anti-Christian stance than to have them in a place where they're going to be told, we are educating you in a Christian way, and then teach doctrines which are blasphemous. A false teacher of pseudo-Christianity is far more dangerous than your garden variety evolutionary heretical person. Okay? Now, you may not agree with that, but that is my advice. Now, I am much more okay with it on a college level if the student is sound in doctrine when they enter, and especially if they will stay in touch with their spiritual family, and we can help them along the way. And there are schools that fit that category, not very far from here, and people from Heritage have attended and are going to attend such schools. That's you still have to be careful, but it's not as serious of an issue as if you're training a child and hearing one thing at home and then something completely contradictory at school in the name of Christ. All right, here's another one. Starts out, I don't know exactly how to phrase the question. Then they phrased it very well. But could you address the issue of parent responsibility at school, whether it be public, private, Christian, or homeschool? I know a number of homeschool parents who make me feel like they don't recognize the value of the public schools. And so what I talk about parental responsibility. Okay, tee it up. I will hit it. We're going to do that this morning. That gets to the issue, which is another one of our purposes for this morning, the issue of getting along with Christian brothers and sisters with which you disagree on something. And that does happen. Now, here's one that also pulls some of the factors together. I encourage my grown children as adults to get in those public schools and be a light for Christ. I'm thrilled that our granddaughter is thriving at, and fill in the name of the school. Our grandson is off to a Meridian school in September. As a former public school teacher, I know that this is a good and fertile place for service and relationships. Can you turn this into a question and make some biblical suggestions like you have dozens of times? I thought about editing that part out, but I left it in, without locking out the option of public schools. Yes, I can. And by the way, I happen to know that that question is from somebody who, in the teaching career, left behind a bunch of people that had become Christians, largely started by or due to the influence of that person teaching in a public school setting. Now, those questions come from people with personal convictions, as everyone should have, and they come from a spectrum, even on opposite ends of the spectrum. There was the person who just was furious that we would ever support any Christian sending any child into a public school. That was, you know, that's an extreme end of the spectrum. But then there's the other extreme end of the spectrum. The point is, there's a spectrum there. What does God say, and how do we apply it? Now, I'm not going to give you everything that's in the position paper. Get a copy if you'd like, or you can read it online at hbc-boise.org if you are interested. I want to give you the proverbial bottom line. Now, first and foremost, I will say this. There is one non-negotiable, crystal clear, biblical absolute on this subject. If you don't accept this, it doesn't matter what option you choose for formal education, because if you don't accept this, you have abdicated your God-given responsibility. You are not a Christian parent if you don't accept this. The absolute is, you're the one. You are responsible. Parental responsibility. It's not hard to find that in the Bible. Start with the well-known words that God gave to Moses to give to Israel before they entered the Promised Land. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And here's the education part of it. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Okay? Christian education is parents loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And in that framework, in that worldview, interacting with your kids, what days of the week? All of them. When? Whenever you arise and whenever you go to bed. All the time. It's a lifestyle. And that's not talking about formal education. It is talking about the highest priorities of life. Your children need to see by how you live, what you do with your time and your money and what you read and what you study and what brings joy to you. They need to see how you worship, how you pray, and they need to hear what you teach them as you show them what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. You're commanded by God to know what the Bible says. These words which I'm commanding you today. And now, they had it easy compared to you. That's in the fifth book of the Bible. There's 61 new ones since then. But you have the whole story. And you need to know it. And it needs to be on your heart. That is, controlling the center of your being. And you need to teach it, not occasionally, diligently to your children. Okay, I'll just say it strongly. If you're not doing that, you're not a Christian parent. You might be a Christian who is a parent, but Christian parenting is nothing less than what Deuteronomy 6 says. Now, if you want to protest that those verses are in the Old Testament and therefore Israel, yes, it is, and yes, they are. But if you want to say, therefore, they don't apply to me, that won't work because the New Testament says the same thing. What was it? Way back earlier this month, we studied Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Notice that that passage requires you to teach your children the Ten Commandments. I'm starting to get an idea that this may just be a theme that is supposed to happen for Heritage Bible Church because we just saw it in Ephesians. What are we doing in our daily emails? The Ten Commandments. And what are we talking about this morning? Christian parenting. But here's what you need to understand. You are the ones responsible to God for what your children learn, both from your words and from your example. And it's your job to manage what they learn from any other source. It has to pass. It has to pass through you. Your children watch you. They are wonderful imitators. They get their accent from you when they learn to speak. They get their sense of normal from you. They are going to get their idea of what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, they need to see. You know, we have our jobs. We have our hobbies. We have our friends. We have all of our extended family. We have all of our relationships. Life is complicated. There's a whole lot of things there. But the central thing is we belong to Jesus Christ. We are with His people on the Lord's day in His church, worshiping together, corporately encouraging each other. That's number one in our week. I know your soccer team has to travel, but this is number one. This is most important. Nothing upsets that except rarely for very important reasons or for total inability to be there. What is the most important thing that controls my life? What's at the center? What controls my heart? What do I want more than anything else to teach you? Even if you flunk English literature, what do you need to know about your Lord? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 says it this way, "My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother." What does that say? Fathers and mothers, command children and teach them. God expects nothing less from you. Proverbs 22:6, famous words, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." That famous proverb summarizes biblical parenting. There's one right way, which is God's way. And that works in 21st century Boise, Idaho, just as it worked in 8th century Persia. It's universal. It has a lot of different wrinkles of application in different places, but that is the right way. It's just specified in a lot of detail in Proverbs, many other passages. We read it in Ephesians a while ago. And since it's axiomatic that early training in the home drastically affects lifelong habits, then parents must insist upon this way, which is teaching God's word and enforcing it with loving discipline, with consistency throughout the child's upbringing and setting the right example. Now, this is easy to understand if you don't have children. Then you realize it's really easy to understand, but oh, wow, is it complicated. God gave me a human being to care for, and he's defective. It's as sinful as I am. How do I apply this? And then you kind of get a handle on it, and you're starting to figure it out. And then maybe God will bless you with a second child, and you'll notice, uh-oh, there's not a cookie cutter out of which these things all come. They're different, and they think differently. How am I going to do that? Well, with great wisdom. You need to know each child, know his or her heart, his or her bent, their quirks, their loves, their joys, their hurts, their pains. You're the one that God put them with to get himself glory. Now, what does that mean for your child's formal education? It means there is only one right way to do it. The way that says you are in charge. You are accountable to God. That's the one right attitude to have. Now, it does not mean that there is only one acceptable way for Christians. It doesn't mean there is only one godly way to educate your children. Because if you are not committed to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, I don't care where you send your kids to school, the strongest influence in their life is ungodly if it's you. And you're not committed to the right thing. Our position paper on educational alternatives, if you work your way through that, contains a series of lists of positive and negative things to consider as you weigh the options that are available to us in our culture, in our place now. And we have pretty much three of them, and somebody pointed out another wrinkle that I forgot to mention here. I'll try to make a comment or two as we go along. But you need to weigh public schools, you need to weigh Christian schools, you need to weigh homeschools. And then the one that I talked to this morning said, well, we homeschool using an online public tool. Okay, hey, you can have the problems of all three of them rolled into one if you like. the point, what's the key? What's the non-negotiable? What's the absolute? You are responsible to God. Now, that said, I want to take a few minutes to speak from the heart to you who are parents of children still in your home, still in school, maybe not yet old enough for school. You might be a grandparent, and you can say, wow, I'm glad I'm not raising kids now. It was hard enough when we did it. Well, I can almost guarantee you that some of you are going to want to send some of this to some of your kids and lovingly come alongside them and help them make these decisions. The decisions need to be made child by child, year by year, maybe even semester by semester, from the alternatives available, from the options available to you, and realize you live in a place that is really unique. In the 2,000-year history of the church, very, very few Christian people have ever had the breadth of options that we have to weigh and to consider. Now, if you can't figure out a way to apply this, well, write me a question on the insert in your bulletin, and I'll get to your subject next week and provoke the pastor. This is from my heart. I've been in the ministry 50 years. I've been with people of very different perspectives in this subject. I just want to talk to you from my heart. So, let's start. Dear public school parents, this is from me. I am thankful that you are involved in public education. We need people there. Why? Because there is where there are lots of people who desperately need a Savior. And you will find that through your child's school activities and extracurricular activities, that's going to put you into many positions to be salt and light. And you can get into places that I can't now because I don't have a child in that age range. One of the main reasons, and I'll preface this, I find a lot of Christians do not want to consider what I'm about to say. They will not give any credence to it, but I'll stand by it. One of the main reasons for the rapid degeneration of our public education in our country, and I don't know if you've noticed, it's going bad. Okay. I mean, sour, rancid. Okay. It's not good. What I got in public education back when I was a kid now would be considered the highest rungs of classical education by some people. And it's the same school system. Just give it 50 years to go down the drain. But one of the main reasons for the rapid degeneration of public education in our country in the last generation is Christians have withdrawn their influence from that part of our world. Name me one group, one institution that is going to be more godly if all the Christians boycott it. It's axiomatic, right? But I will say to you, dear public school parents, you and your family are far more likely to preach the gospel and to bring people to church than our friends who choose other alternatives. Make the most of those opportunities. Make the most of those non-Christian acquaintances and downright friends that you might make through your connection through school. Because what's our highest calling on earth? Bring souls to the Savior. That's why God has left us here. And if you aren't wholeheartedly committed to that task, maybe you don't belong there. You will fail your children if you take on that task, but you don't do it as somebody whose heart is controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear public school parents, I'm glad you are where you are. Make the most of it. But I have to warn you, your children are at risk. Every day when they go to that place, they are going to be taught anti-biblical ideas such as evolution. Here's one I never had to say when I preached this before. Gender fluidity, identity, politics. They are being taught an overall anti-Christian worldview in their curriculum. They are also at risk of lots of negative peer pressure. Now, we had negative peer pressure when I was a kid, too, but they've gotten really creative nowadays. And now they have the internet and social media to help them along the way. That's not just in public schools, by the way. That peer pressure is probably far beyond what you realize. And I remember back, it's 30 years ago now, no, 25 years ago, that our son was still in high school. He knew of classmates and teammates who were alcoholics, drug users, drug dealers, and other sundry criminal types, not to mention the rampant promiscuity of everything going on. And that was high school. Your values and your child's values, if you're in the school system, they will be tested with regularity. And that's good or bad, depending on how you handle it. It's good if you use it as a way to say, here is how someone whose Lord Jesus Christ is at the center of their heart will handle this. You stand for the truth, and you teach your kids to stand for the truth, even when it's unpopular. But they're going to be watching you, because you are the one responsible for what they are taught, and you're responsible to God and accountable for how it's applied. If you make your children go to school, I mean, you don't have an option. You're going to school. But then when it comes to you reading the Bible, studying the Bible, praying, being faithful to church, and you send the message to them, well, that's optional. That's like a hobby. That's something you can do or don't do. You must go to that place where they hate Christ. But when it comes to being with the people who love him, we're kind of easy on that. They will read that loud and clear. And they will, though they would never articulate it, they will learn that you are not a Christian parent. At best, you're a parent who claims to be a Christian. If you don't know the content of your child's textbooks, and if you don't discuss how those things interact with and contradict the Bible, you're failing your children. This is a tough task. This is a big thing. But God wants you to do it. If you aren't involved with your child's teachers, if you don't know the school principal and everyone else in a position of authority over your child, if you don't make it your business to be acquainted with them, if you're not working hard to befriend those people, I think that's dereliction. Now, don't smother your child. You got to have some wisdom here. Don't be that dreaded helicopter parent. But don't stick your head in the sand either. If you aren't a cheerful, supportive volunteer in your child's school, you're missing a great opportunity, and you are failing to show your child what the right priorities really are. And not to mention, you're missing out on many witnessing opportunities, people who need Christ. If you're not praying for your child and for his or her teachers, well, why not? Every day that your child comes home from school is a golden opportunity for you to obey God by taking your responsibility to teach them critical thinking. They're going to hear some wacko stuff, some really bad stuff. That's the golden opportunity. How does a person with the Lord at the center of their heart interact with that awful idea? How do we respond to that? How do we apply Scripture to it? How do we analyze that? And then you can teach them the Scriptures. You can teach them to pray. You can teach them to be representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ in a hostile world. Ignore that responsibility and that opportunity to your own peril. and you jeopardize your kid. Now, there are some of a different perspective who say that children are not called to be evangelists. So don't excuse the sin of sending your children to a public school by saying they're going to be an influence for Christ. Would you please find me a verse that tells me what the minimum cutoff age is for when you need to preach the gospel? Every child that's saved has every single command in the Bible that we have. And they're not alone because you're their backup. You're the ones that are with them. But understand, we need to have an influence in a non-Christian environment if we're going to send our kids there. Let's do it as those that love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And by the way, don't wait to get started in that, because there's several, all kinds of books and statistics about the scourge of kids, the avalanche of kids leaving the church when they graduate from high school and go off to college or into the adult world. But a substantial percentage of those young adults who abandon the church that have defected, if you will, run away from the faith, they said they started to doubt the Bible as early as fourth grade. Okay? So it's not because they got out from under the safety of their parents' wings. It's because the foundation wasn't laid. They didn't learn the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ at the youngest possible age. So don't wait to get serious about it. And by the way, now a lot of this applies to the other groups that I'm going to address too, but understand, you are the strongest influence on your children by far. A public school teacher friend of mine was at a Christian gathering, and someone gave him a rant about how the schools brainwash children and are just turning them into secular humanists. He had the most gracious response I've ever heard. He said, "I only wish I had that much influence. The problem is, I as a Christian can't begin to compete with what they get at home." Think about it. Yeah, the system, big, big problems. And they're getting worse, and they're getting worse fast, and they're getting worse faster than they used to get worse fast. But understand, dear public school parents, we are here as your brothers and sisters in Christ. We support and encourage you any way we can. We will pray for you. We will provide supportive children's ministries, supportive youth ministries. We'll give you advice. We'll give you resources. We'll try to help you through crises if they come your way. Now, switch gears. Dear Christian school parents, I want to applaud you for your sacrifice to send your children to a quality school where the teaching most likely, generally, comes from a biblical perspective. I know that you sacrifice a lot financially to do this. I know that it takes a lot of time to work out those deals of transportation and other logistics. I know that that school does not have the resources of government funding, and though so they expect a lot from you. I get that. And good on you for accepting the responsibility and applying it in that way. But one more thing I want to say to you. I need to warn you, your children are at risk. In a Christian school, a private Christian school, the risks take a little different form than the way they come to your public school brethren. But ditto everything I said to public school parents about the need for diligent involvement. Just because there's a cross over the building where your kid goes to school doesn't mean that every book that comes home from there is going to support what you know and believe from the scriptures. Don't you dare let a book or a piece of paper come home from that school and you don't learn the contents. and help your child apply critical thinking to it. A family in our church some years ago, they had a high school senior attending a Christian school, one of the better ones available in this region, and their high school senior was given a book. The whole class was given this book. And then we found out that it was also given to the youth group at that church and any family that would take it. And it was an absolutely terrible sniper attack from within inside the camp. It was applying postmodernism. It was ripping away at absolute truth. It was awful. And it was given away by a Christian school. Here's a gift to all of our seniors as you go out into the world. Deny everything we've taught you or that your parents have taught you. Not every book used at a Christian school is automatically going to be sound. Not every teacher at a Christian school is necessarily committed to helping your child grow in Christ. People are people, and some are better at what they do than others. You're probably going to be pleased with the influences on your children in most cases from their teachers, but you have not satisfied your obligation to the Lord as a parent merely by choosing a Christian school. Even if all the books your children use are sound, you have to work extra hard to prepare your kids to face non-Christian thinking when they get into the real world. Now, there's an issue that's different at a private Christian school than at a public school, and that is there are going to be different standards of behavior, and they're going to be better, and they're going to be better enforced. And that's mostly a good thing, but it has a couple of unintended consequences. One is it covers up the fact that most of those students aren't saved. Because if everyone is forced to behave the same on the outside, it's a lot easier to fool people into thinking that you belong in that group, whether you really do or not. Did you hear Sam Rotman's testimony? I did all of these things, and on the outside, moral, right, talented, all these good things, in my heart, wicked. Okay? You don't want to cover that up. We need to get to the heart to bring the gospel. The other possible unintended consequence is that requiring people to conform to external codes of conduct can easily breed legalism. The idea that you are accepted by God because of how well you perform in keeping the rules. Now, those teachers are not trying to be Pharisees. Those parents are not trying to be Pharisees at all. But you have to make sure that you don't confuse the gospel with moralism. You're good because you don't break the rules. You haven't been arrested all week? Gold star. You know, maybe you were in a coma, but judging spiritual success by what you don't do and how you don't get in trouble, that doesn't work. Among graduates of good Christian schools within my sphere of knowledge, so I'm not making this up, this isn't anything scientific, I can just tell you that among graduates of good Christian schools who were sent there by good Christian parents or parents that said they wanted the best, I know among them a heroin addict, a person busted for growing marijuana, a homosexual, some who got married soon after high school because of the out-of-wedlock pregnancies, and some who went through the same thing but didn't get married. Okay? Christian schools. Is that the answer? No. The gospel is the answer. And who's responsible? The parents. So, dear Christian school parents, we are here to support you and encourage you in any way we can. We will pray for you. We will provide supportive children's ministries and supportive youth ministries. We will give you advice. We will give you resources. Several times I've played in your benefit golf tournament. That's how much we love you. Okay? Now, homeschool parents, my dear homeschool parent friends. Wow. You are the superstars of taking parental responsibility seriously. I know you make great sacrifices of time and energy and money to do what you do. Anyone who challenges your commitment to your children is, well, nuts. Okay? But that said, I have a very important message for you who are homeschooling in this era. I need to warn you, your children are at risk. The biggest problem with your children is the same thing as the problem with the Christian school parents and the public school parents. They're your children, and you are depraved. They were born to you. They're as messed up as you are, and they have a whole lot more options for how to express it than you ever did. They're at risk. Now, the risk doesn't come from the curriculum, because you choose it. The risks aren't from daily negative peer pressure, unless your firstborn is a problem. You won't deal with many of the things that your public school brethren deal with, that their kids bring home from school. But ditto everything I said about Christian school families, but put it in bold capital letters. Your home is a great environment to go to school. I mean, would I have loved to stay home with my mom all the time? Oh, wow, would I have loved that. That's a great environment. And the intense love, the intense involvement that you have with your kids, that's a good thing. But realize it can cover up the fact that they may not be saved, even if you and they think they are. You need to be relentless and patient with the long-term process of making a disciple. When values are not put to the test, character doesn't get revealed as easily. And that's a lot bigger issue than what you think it is. We need to learn how to live in a sin-cursed, upside-down world. And if we're completely insulated from it, that's one of the big things to overcome. Well, great positives about homeschooling. There are things that you need to overcome. That same issue of breeding legalism. I'm not saying that every family that chooses homeschooling is legalistic. Far from that. Some that I know, most that I know are the antithesis of that. And like I say, it's not because parents are setting out to teach a false gospel, but it's because of you have to do the things necessary to keep order and to get work done. And kids need to learn that there's a difference between biblical commandments and personal standards and family habits. And if those two are commingled all day, every day, the lessons are harder to learn. And so you as the responsible party have to work harder at being creative to learn how to teach them. And even considering how much commitment it takes educating your children at home, it will spare you from many trials that face other parents. No doubt about that. But you have different trials. You have different challenges. And make no mistake, we love and support our homeschool parents. Our facilities are available if you need to have a group event of some kind. We will help you any way we can with resources. But realize that there can be some unintended consequences of this choice as well. The very nature of homeschooling breeds isolation from the world. Now, you want to protect your kids, but on the other hand, our goal is not to raise the most trouble-free children possible. Our goal is to produce mature disciples of Jesus Christ who are trained and ready to take the gospel into a hostile world. Christian school parents, same thing to you, maybe to a different degree, but when we make choices that remove our influence from the world, we make it that much harder to fulfill our duty to preach the gospel. So we have a lot more work to do in creating opportunities to spread the gospel. There's another concern, is the unintended consequence of how your children relate to people outside your family. Now, I've been involved with homeschool parents since the movement got started among evangelicals in the early 80s. I did a number of radio programs with the people who were fighting for the rights to educate their own children back when the movement was getting started. I've seen people that have done it very, very well. I've seen people that have done it not so well. But understand when I say this, I have no individual family in mind. I'm not thinking of any particular child or any particular parents, but I just want to say something, and I want you to receive it in the spirit it intended, which is helping you to do your best. I know some things you don't. Oh, you know way more than I do about a whole lot of things. But I will tell you, youth pastors often have difficulties dealing with homeschool kids. If what you're doing is successful, if it's meeting the goal, your kids should rise as the cream of the crop to be spiritual leaders of their peers in youth ministry. That is not often the case. More often, homeschoolers either boycott youth ministry altogether, or they have trouble fitting into group activities. I've heard the same things from Awana leaders. We don't have Awana here, but most of you know what it is. Awana leaders tell me they often have the greatest difficulty with homeschool kids because all the rest of their time, they're in the peace and quiet and order of their daily routine under the safety umbrella of mom and or dad. And then you say, now here is where we're going to go for some Christian activity. And they go to Awana, which is a mildly organized version of chaos, with some good things that get accomplished there. And the gospel can spread through that. Now, the Awana organization is heading down the tank. Theologically, that's another issue. But the point is, it's not just to keep your kids nice. It's to produce mature adults. College professors say the same thing. Sometimes people tell their pastor things that they don't tell their parents. I spent 4 years teaching at the Master's College. And you could tell pretty much what groups people had come from. And boy, we had quite the diversity there. Homeschooled K through 12, missionary kids who hadn't lived in a primarily English-speaking culture their entire life. Kids that came out of public schools. It was quite impressive to see the array and the divergence of academic skill, which didn't always match up with where they were schooled. But understand, your kids, as they come out, and the things I mentioned that they might say to a pastor they wouldn't say to somebody else, a couple of things that they say that are the most heartbreaking. Some of them felt smothered and micromanaged, so they couldn't wait to get out. But then they didn't know how to handle it when they did get out into the world. The other one is that they felt they were trained to feel superior to other kids, and they didn't know how to relate to them. Now, those are worst cases. I get that. But understand, those are dangers. And just because you choose something for its positive attributes doesn't mean that there aren't pitfalls and things that can go wrong. Now, my experiences in the church, my relationships with other pastors, my little bit of time teaching at the college level give me a perspective that I think is probably more informed than that of many people. I say these things with a certain fear and trembling because I know that some people believe that homeschool or Christian school is above criticism. And no truly God-fearing, gospel-believing person could make any other choice than the one that I make. That's not true. If you go away from this and say that I am anti-homeschool, you're lying. What I want to get across is that regardless of which option you choose for formal education, there are strengths and there are weaknesses. There are things you can gain with one tool that you can't gain with another. So you need to make a decision the best you can for every child you have from the options available to you semester by semester for the glory of God. And Christian or homeschool parents, we're here to support you and encourage you in any way we can. You have our prayers. We will provide supportive children's ministries and supportive youth group. We'll give you our advice. We'll give you our resources. Finally. Yeah, and I see what time it is. Get over it. Dear people of Heritage Bible Church, no matter whether you have kids or not, what their age is, I don't care. You might be great, great grandparents by now. You might have your first little one on the way. All the people of Heritage Bible Church, I want to let you know, I need to warn you, our children are at risk. And so I want to say this, support and encourage each other. Set the example for your children to be joyfully involved with the entire body of Christ, not only with those who do everything the way you do. Now, in this era, if you're giving pastoral advice in our theological circles, the best thing you can do is quote Tim Challies. Some of you don't know who Tim is. He's a pastor in the People's Republic of Canada, doing a very good job. He has dealt with these things. He's younger than me, but he's pretty smart for a guy younger than me. I want to close with words from him because I could not say this any better. He says, "So here is my exhortation for those in either camp. We must not let education divide the church. For the sake of church unity, be careful. The church does not need to be fractured between the homeschoolers and the public schoolers. Satan is no doubt doing all he can to set one Christian against another and to make disputable matters into so much more. Homeschoolers need to love and support those who choose to send their children to public schools. When difficult times arise, they must not use these times as an opportunity to say, 'I told you so.' Rather, they can use these difficult times to pray for their friends, to comfort them, challenge them, support them, and to bear with them. The same is true of those who send their children to public schools. They must support their homeschooling brothers and sisters, bearing with them and supporting them, understanding that these people are following their conscience. In either case, parents must teach their children to love and embrace children who are educated differently, lest we see children divided from one another on that basis. The church is big enough for both those who homeschool and those who do not. We absolutely cannot afford to make this an issue of division. There are bigger battles to fight, and to fight them successfully, we must stand together. A little understanding, a little respect will go a long way to fostering the unity that is so important to the church. So think through the issues, choose carefully, and prepare to love those who choose differently." Boy, you can't say it any better than that. So why did I take 45 minutes to lead up to that? I did. There is one position on educational alternatives that we will not support and will not tolerate. That is the position that says there is only one position. It's the one I chose. We're members of one another. We belong together. We need every one of us in this battle. Let's pray. Father, thank you for granting us the privilege to be influencing the generation and generations that come behind us. I want to pray right now for all of the parents in our midst. Give them wisdom and grace and joy along the way. Help them to do the hard work of the diligence and the commitment and the discipline it takes to be the kind of people, well, it's very clear, have Jesus Christ at the center of their lives. Help us learn from one another. Help us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as we support each other in family life and in the battles for truth in the world around us. And Father, for those who look at decisions that they've made, things that they've done, and say, oh, I wish I had known this before. Father, I know that your grace is sufficient for every situation. I also know that the very best day to begin to do the right and best thing is today. So make that the plan for every family represented here, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.